This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to worship with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the gift of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who took our place at the cross. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for thy willingness and obedience to the Father to come and die in our place and take our sins far away. And we thank thee, blessed Holy Spirit, that thou didst come in obedience to the Father and the Son to make all of this real in the hearts of thy people and to give them that effectual call after Christ and to draw them with cords of kindness and love unto him. We praise thee and give thee glory this day for so great salvation which thou hast given in Christ. Oh, may this be the day when thou wilt do it for others, taking thy word home to their hearts by the power of thy Spirit. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Jesus is a rock in the weary land, the weary land, the weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in the weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Jesus is a rock in the weary land, the weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in the weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Our hearts rejoice in all that God has worked in our midst, doing in our hearts at this hour. We praise him and he's working in your heart. Would you like a part in this ministry? Then write us and let us know that you are standing with us in prayer, praying that God will send his word home to our hearts in power and in much assurance. We need your prayers at this hour, that God would send revival and work in our hearts. Have you written for your free book that we're offering this month entitled The Bondage of the Will by Martin Luther? I'd like to put it into every one of your homes for you to read it. A book of about 400 pages. A book that describes what the Word of God teaches concerning the bondage of man's will in the fall, and how that it takes the sovereign grace of God to work in us, to save us through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We would be happy if you would write for this book, and we would send it to you free and postpaid. Ask for it by name, The Bondage of the Will, by Martin Luther. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. My dear friend, as we have these past weeks set before you what the eternal Word of God teaches on true and false profession, how has the Holy Spirit dealt with your heart? Has there been the shining of the light of God's Word into your heart to reveal the truth of your condition before God? Has God commanded the light to shine out of darkness into your heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? Has there been a cry after Him to know Him in spirit and in truth? Has there been a desire to know your true state before God, whether or not you are in Christ? Or if you have been deceived by the god of this world into believing all is well when you have nothing more than a false profession? How searching is that word found in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Oh, that the Holy Spirit may open the eyes of each one of you today to understand what it means to know Christ and to walk with Him in that living union by His Spirit. We laid before you in our last message four essential elements or ingredients of saving faith whereby we could test whether or not we possess this grace of God. We said, first of all, that true saving faith consists of a yielding to the authority of God, a submitting of myself to His rule. And I praise God for this, because you see, in salvation, it is the hoisting of the white flag of surrender and bowing to the authority of God's Word, a yielding to the authority of God Himself, a submitting of myself to His rule. This is a fundamental ingredient in true saving faith. You see, I, a rebel, who has spent my whole lifetime in self-will, self-pleasing, self-indulgence, and who has lived in rebellion against the authority of God, must of necessity forsake my self-will and rebellion against Him if ever I am saved by His grace. So this is the first ingredient that we went into, showing that there is a bowing in salvation to the authority of God, to the authority of His Word, and what it says that we must do. I said that there is a second ingredient in true saving faith, and it is a genuine coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when we come to Christ, something has to be left behind, and that is our sins, our way, and our idols. Coming to Christ not only involves the abandoning of every false object of confidence, but it also includes and entails the forsaking of all other competitors for my heart. Luke 14 tells us, if we forsake not all that we have, we cannot be Christ's disciples. So it is the leaving behind of all other lovers, all other confidences, and a genuine casting ourselves upon the Lord Jesus Christ for time and for eternity to find in Him His perfect salvation, find in His righteousness our covering and standing before God, to find in His blood all that we need for the washing away of all of our sins, and finding in His work as our high priest within the veil all that we need for Him to keep us and deliver us day by day. And then the third essential ingredient of saving faith we talked about consists of the complete surrender of my whole being and life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You see, the yoke of Christ is part of His salvation. Well, that's what He tells us in Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Yes, the yoke of Christ is part of His salvation. His Lordship is just as much a part of His salvation as His Saviorship. For how could we be partakers of His Saviorship without bowing to His Lordship? And my friend, there's no way. For listen to Philippians 2. "At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." And then listen to what we find in Colossians 2:6. "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." Mark it well. It is said, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord." Oh, how far, far below the New Testament standard is this modern way of begging sinners to receive Christ as their own personal Savior without bowing to His Lordship and looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The reason I stress this is because this is the truth of God's Word, and because the other side of this free willism, is so much stressed today. My friend, has God no right in His own salvation to dictate the terms on which His gracious and glorious salvation in Christ is to be received? Yes, He has, and He does. Jesus Christ is Lord, and He will be received as Lord as you, a broken-hearted sinner, come to Him, or you'll be cast out of His presence forever and forever. You see, there is that ingredient of true saving faith of bowing the whole man to the whole Christ and crowning Jesus Christ as Lord. As long as you do not desire for Him to be Lord of all, He will not be Lord at all. Now this brings us to the fourth ingredient of true saving faith, and the one that we told you that we would look at in detail in the balance of our messages. Yes, it is to this fourth essential ingredient of saving faith that we propose to look at, and it is this. True saving faith consists in a believing on Christ with the understanding, with the affections, and with the will. We read in Romans 10:9-10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, I want you to pick up your ears and listen. For we're going into something we don't hear much of today, and that is the three principles of our faculties by which we come to Christ and lay hold of Him to the saving of our never-dying souls. So I want you to listen intently, will you? Listen to me now. We come to Christ with the understanding, with the affections, and with the will. You see, God has so made you and I that these three faculties are subordinate one to the other and follow in that order. Understanding, affections, and will. One faculty is influenced by the other. Now I want you to listen. It's a matter between life and death. It's not a matter of words with me, but it's the true teaching of God's Word. Wherein and howin does true saving faith come to us? It comes to us through our understanding. It enters into our affections. And then the will is influenced to close in savingly with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we can illustrate this by looking at Genesis 3:6 to see how our first parents sinned and how these three faculties were used. Listen to Genesis 3:6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Watch as this portion unfolds to us the use of the understanding, the affections, and the will. Listen. The woman saw. That is, she perceived that the tree was good for food. There we have a conclusion drawn by her understanding. She understood that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye. There we have the response of her affections. Now it is going out to that fruit. And then we have the wording, it was a tree to be desired. There we have the moving of the will. Then she took. And there we have the completed action. First, her understanding was enlightened. The woman saw that the tree was good for food. Then her affections responded under this expression, and it was pleasant to her eyes. And that it was a tree to be desired. And therefore her will was moved, and she took. There we have the completed act. I believe we see from this that true saving faith, a coming to Christ savingly, is something more than a mere lip confession or profession. It is a genuine coming to Christ with the whole being, and that is with the whole man. Watch it now. For true saving faith to operate, it must come into the understanding, our understanding, and then by this knowledge the affections are stirred, and they in turn influence and move the will. In this way, every faculty of the soul is put forth in coming to Christ savingly. We have noticed that the will acts last. That is, the will is not active toward Christ until the understanding has been enlightened and the affections quickened. Listen to me now. I know I'm on new ground with a lot of people, but I want you to get it. This is the way a man comes to Christ. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit must first cause you to understand your deep need of Christ by showing you your fearful rebellion against God, and that none but Christ can atone for your sins. We must have that knowledge. And that comes into the understanding. Second, the Holy Spirit creates in your heart a desire after Christ by making you sick of sin and in love with holiness. And so now the affections go out after Christ. Third, as you are awakened and enlightened and have been given by the Holy Spirit to see the glory and excellency of Christ and His suitability to your need as a lost sinner, then the Holy Spirit draws out your will to set the highest value upon Christ, to desire Him above all earthly objects, and to come unto Him savingly. So you see, my dear friend, that there is more to saving faith than just giving assent to some proposition made to your emotions when there has never been an understanding of your lost condition, of your rebellion against the Holy God, nor the opening of your eyes to see the glory and beauty of Christ and His substitution for sinners, that would make you leave sin to follow Him, and the affections would go out after Him. This leads us now to answer this question. Why must the Holy Spirit enlighten us and quicken us and draw out our will so that we may be enabled to close in with Christ savingly? Let us let Scripture instruct us. In Ephesians 2:1 we read, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." That is the answer. In our fallen Adam we became spiritually dead, and according to Ephesians 4:18, our understanding became darkened. And according to Isaiah 53:2, our affections became prostituted so that we saw no beauty in Christ that we will affectionately go after Him. Therefore, we read in John 5:40, "Ye will not come to Me that you might have life." Oh, my dear friend, do you get the picture? You will not come to Christ because your understanding is darkened and you see no beauty in Him that you might desire Him. Therefore, the will which is subordinate to the darkened understanding and the prostitute affections cannot act upon its own to come to Christ savingly. The will can only act upon that to which the understanding gives light and the affections give desire. And because we love sin and darkness more than Christ and light, the will must go after sin. This is the reason for the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit by the Word of God in our hearts. As we saw in Ephesians 2:1, He must quicken us, or we will forever lie dead in trespasses and sins. He must give us light, or we will forever lie in darkness. He must convict us, or we will forever stay in ignorance. He must draw us with the cords of love, or we will forever stay in the prison house of sin and of Satan. Did not our Lord tell us in John 6:44, "No man can come to Me except the Father which hath sent Him draw him"? And this He does by His Spirit in the hearts and lives of His elect. Oh, what a blessed thing it is to be drawn by the Holy Spirit with the cords of love to Christ. What a mercy it is for the Holy Spirit to cause the Word of God to lay bare our hearts and show us our need of Christ. You see, this drawing is accomplished by the Spirit in effectually enlightening the understanding, by quickening the affections, by freeing the will from the bondage of sin, and inclining it toward God and His Christ. You see, by the workings of grace, the Spirit turns the bent of our wills, which before moved only toward sin in the world, unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Psalms 110:3, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of Thy power." And this the Holy Spirit does by letting His glorious light shine into our hearts, given the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He overcomes our prejudiced hearts and wins and draws us unto the Lord Jesus. Now let us go back to Romans 10 and read, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But verse 14 asks, "How then shall they believe on Him in whom they have not... How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard?" Therefore we are brought back to our first statement. A true coming to Christ savingly is with the understanding, the affections, and the will. My dear friend, what we are trying to get over to you today is this. There can be no salvation, there can be no coming to Christ savingly, without the understanding first being enlightened. For you see, a knowledge of Christ is essential, for there can be no movement toward an unknown object. We must have some acquaintance with a person before he will be either trusted or loved. Therefore, the knowledge of Christ must of necessity precede our believing in Him or our coming to Him savingly. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. For no man yet ever came to Christ while they were ignorant of Him. And brethren, you don't get this knowledge by just believing a little set of four laws. You don't get this by logic. You don't get this by somebody putting a proposition before you and you give an assent to it. Oh no. You come with the understanding. You may ask, Pastor, how do I get this knowledge so that I may come to Him with the understanding? Listen to me now. This knowledge of Christ comes to the mind from the Holy Scriptures. The only place. Nothing can be known of Christ except that which God has been pleased to reveal concerning Him in the Word of Truth. It is in the Scriptures alone that the true doctrine of Christ is to be found. Therefore, our Lord gave us this commandment, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. Therefore, I say to every awakened soul, every concerned soul, make much of God's Word. Search it. Meditate upon it. Pray over it. Cry unto the Holy Spirit to throw His light upon it. Pray that He may show you out of its pages first yourself and then Christ. You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It was said of Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Yes, the Holy Spirit is able to do the same thing for you as you read and meditate upon God's holy and righteous Word. Now, have you understood where we're going? We're going to show you from the Word of God. We're starting it today. That we believe to the saving of our soul as the Holy Spirit enlightens our understanding and gives us a knowledge of ourselves before God, of our sinful condition, and the knowledge of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then when we have seen our guilty condition by our understanding, and when we have seen that it's only in Christ that we have the salvation, then the affections go after Christ. And we find a beauty and a glory in Him that we should desire Him. And it is then that our will follows this knowledge of our understanding and goes after Christ with these affections and says yes to the Lord of glory. It's not until then that the will can act, because the will is in subordination to the understanding and to the affections, and we'll see more of that as we get into these messages. Now, beloved, you'll want a copy of these messages to read for yourself and to see how God works in our hearts this true saving faith. Will you write for your copy? Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.